Ag Today presents your Purdue Extension, a podcast network. A podcast partnership between Purdue University Extension and Indiana's most listened to farm radio network, Hoosier Ag Today.
Hi, I'm C.J. Miller with Hoosier Ag Today, and welcome to Your Farm. It's a new podcast as Hoosier Ag Today presents Your Purdue Extension, a podcast network. And here on Your Farm, we're going to shine a spotlight on Purdue Extension's agriculture and natural resources programs. And one program is through the Agricultural and Biological Engineering Department, because coming up at the later part of this month, September 22nd through 27th, it's National Farm Safety and Health Week. And it's scheduled during that time because it's early on during the harvest season to highlight the importance of farm safety. Every year at this time, Purdue University releases its annual Indiana Farm Fatality Summary. It's compiled by Purdue University's Agricultural Safety and Health Program through Purdue's Agricultural and Biological Engineering Department. Joining us here today on Your Farm is Ed Shelton. He's an agricultural safety specialist with Purdue Extension, as well as Purdue's Agricultural and Biological Engineering Department through the College of Agriculture. Ed is also one of the researchers who helped put together this year's Indiana Farm Fatality Summary. And Ed, first of all, I don't want to get hung up on the specific numbers that are in the 2024 Indiana Farm Fatality Summary, or any other year for that matter, but I just want to take a look and discuss some of the overall trends that we're seeing in your research. For example, in the most recent research that was just released the last part of August, first part of September, we saw a significant jump in numbers last year from previous years in terms of farm fatalities in Indiana, which isn't unusual, but it is concerning, Ed.
It is. And first of all, thanks for giving us the opportunity to talk about this topic and be on this program. It's a great way to spread some word about the importance of safety on the farm. And unfortunately, one of the things that happens is we do lose people every year. As you pointed out, in our 2024 report or summary that we just completed, we did have a jump in numbers from about 16 fatalities in 2023 up to 28 in 2024. That's concerning. The good news is the overall trend over the past 30 to 40 years is that the number of deaths is going down. And statistically, we don't necessarily run statistical analysis on this data. It's probably just a blip. We just happened to have a bad year and compared to the past few, and so the numbers went up, and that's just, but it really doesn't matter if there's 10 or 20 or 30 in the state in a given year. That's that number of families that have faced basically unimaginable tragedy. So that's why we try not to get hung up on numbers. We do look at the long-term trends, and that things are still gradually getting better, which is good. Number of factors could fall into that. Among other things, our equipment is, we have safer equipment now than we ever have. It's the safety engineering built into our farm equipment's amazing, and getting better every day. Another factor is that there's not, oh, go ahead.
Well, I know that, and I apologize for cutting you off there, but I know that one part of the research, this research has been done by Purdue for close to 60 years, more than 60 years. And when you think back to the 1950s, the 1960s, there were still a large number of farms that were still using horses, that were still using older equipment, which I'm sure that probably contributed to more farm fatalities when this survey was first initiated and this research was first initiated over 60 years ago, Ed?
Oh, absolutely. You go back even, if we look back 80 to 100 years ago, everybody farmed horses, oxen, whatever. And over that, and back in those days, the primary cause of farm fatalities was animals, or the major factor. Now it's machinery. Machinery, tractors, combines have replaced the animals on the farm. Now, fortunately, overall, the numbers have reduced dramatically, which is great. But you mentioned the 50-60 year time period. I first started in working in ag safety in the early 90s as a grad student. And then I did other things for a long time and came back to it a few years ago. And one of the things I noticed was kind of a trend in different types of incidents that we see. 30 years ago, we still saw a lot of PTO accidents where people would get tangled up in a PTO shaft and either get severely injured or die. Those still happen, but they're almost rare now. So, and that's just a testament to the engineering and the safety factors or safety features that are built into some of our newer equipment. Everything's a progression, and again, comes back to the fact that we are getting safer, but we still lose too many people.
My guest is Ed Shelton. He's a Purdue Ag Safety Specialist, and he's joining us here on the Your Farm podcast. And you put together the 2024 Indiana Farm Fatality Summary. And one of the statistics that I've seen reading through this year's summary and going through previous year's summaries is that a lot of the fatalities that we're seeing on farms across the state involve farmers who are older. The average age of those who are experiencing or they're being killed on the farm are those in their 50s and 60s. And I say an average age because it runs the gamut. Unfortunately, we had children who were killed in farming accidents in 2024. So that may skew the numbers somewhat, but a lot of these accidents, according to your research, Ed, involves, and these are your words, old guys driving old tractors, which accounts for a significant number of fatalities on the farm, Ed.
Absolutely, it does. I believe this year, almost 40% of our fatalities involve tractors, and a big percentage of those were what we'd call senior citizens or older folks. Wonderful thing about agriculture and farming is that it does involve the whole family. People of all ages, from kids to senior citizens, are able to be active on the farm, get out and participate. We're unique from any other industry in that way. But the flip side is that also puts those age groups at risk of injury or worse. And we think is somewhat higher risk than maybe your typical 45-year-old farmer. As we age, we tend to slow down, maybe lose a step or two here and there, maybe can't quite do the things that we used to or as effectively, and maybe we don't realize that. I'm getting closer to that time in life myself, so time does catch up with us. Another thing we see with the, I'll say, senior audience or senior farmers is they do tend to use older equipment in a lot of cases. That doesn't have those safety features that we talked about, whether it's rollover protective structures or even narrow front end tractors still out there in use occasionally, which is okay. I mean, that's great. We all love antique tractors, and that's awesome. I do cringe when I see drive down the road and see somebody mowing a roadside with an old front end tractor along the side ditch. If we go back in history, and I honestly don't have specific numbers to point out, but we lose too many people that way. And where the tractor, just a tractor rollover in a side ditch or a side of a hill or into a pond or something like that. So it's an issue we like to point out. In no way are we saying that older people or young kids shouldn't be on the farm. I grew up in that environment. I wouldn't trade it for the world, but looking at the other end of the spectrum on the kids, they may lack the experience, lack the knowledge, the physical strength. They're kids. Sometimes they do things they shouldn't. You get right down to it. And immaturity, I guess, is the term. So while we certainly want kids involved, youth involved in farm work, definitely not opposed to it, there are, take the time and the effort to assign them to age-appropriate tasks, train, teach how to do things safely. It's not necessarily instinctive. You have to learn, and we can certainly teach how to do things safely, and hopefully reduce, if not, to say eliminate losing any kids on the farm would be absolutely wonderful. I don't know whether we'll ever get quite to that point. We've gotten a lot better in the last several years. And we've had a few years where we haven't recorded any farm deaths to kids in Indiana, but unfortunately in 24, I believe we had three on the list. I know of a couple this year that'll be in the 2025 report, and maybe more as the data comes in. So,
well, Ed, something I want to ask you about that specifically, because I want to ask you about that specifically because you mentioned in your report, in your research, three children, and I believe they were all under the age of 8 who passed away in farm-related accidents in 2024. This past summer, we had a child who I believe was under the age of 5 who died in a farming accident in Jackson County. And I'm wondering if there needs to be a larger effort out there to promote farm safety when it comes to having kids on the farm.
I don't think absolutely. I think we can always devote more interest, more attention to keeping kids safe on the farm. There are a lot of resources out there available, and we have great help through our partners. Through Farm Bureau does a great job educating farm families about child safety. Our extension service, our counterparts in extension here at Purdue do a great job. I don't think we can do too much, if you will. I think the more attention that can be brought to the issue just makes more people aware. None of those cases that we've had was a situation where somebody thought they were putting their child in danger. But for whatever reason, something happened and the worst happened, or the worst occurred. What we want to do is instill in folks just that extra thought of just take that extra minute, that extra second to think about, what could happen? How do I prevent it from happening? It's a tough thing to do because we don't want to think about the bad that can happen. But just take that extra moment, make safety a priority. Again, I'm a big proponent of kids being involved on the farm. You know, obviously, you know, a 3 or 4 year old child probably isn't working on the farm, although there may be tasks that they can do, but they're out there involved. I know the situation, or I believe the situation you referred to in Jackson County, a young boy was out with his grandparents in the field and just ended up being what all of us were. I guarantee you, I was a rambunctious kid and ran where he shouldn't have. And so we just have to watch out for that. Certainly there are tasks that kids probably should not be involved with on the farm. And again, there's guidance along that line, but I think it comes back to general awareness that, yeah, something bad could happen, and let's prevent it before it does.
My guest is Ed Shelton. He is the Purdue Safety and or Agricultural Safety Specialist with Purdue Extension. We're going to take a little deeper dive into the 2024 Indiana Farm Fatality Summary here in just a minute, and we'll be back with more here on Your Farm as Hoosier Ag Today presents Your Purdue Extension.
The average American reaches for their mobile phone about 350 times a day. For Indiana farmers, that number is probably higher, as the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app keeps them updated on the latest markets, weather, and farm news information. If you haven't downloaded this free app, you're missing out on a powerful and portable resource. The Hoosier Ag Today mobile app can be downloaded at the Apple Store and Google Play, and at HoosierAgToday.com. The Hoosier Ag Today mobile app.
Welcome back to Your Farm here on Hoosier Ag Today. It's as we chat with Ed Shelton as he helped compile the 2024 Indiana Farm Fatality Summary with some help with some other folks at Purdue University, including Dr. Bill Field. We want to give him a shout out because he's been involved with Purdue, and he's been at Purdue in the Agricultural and Biological Engineering Department for quite a while, and he's done a great amount of work with Purdue. So we certainly want to thank Dr. Field for all that he does and for helping with this research as well. And I want to talk about something that was part of this research. I found surprising that OSHA, a lot of farms just aren't subject to OSHA and the safety regulations that you would find at a lot of ag businesses or businesses and manufacturing in general, that OSHA regulations just don't apply to a lot of family farms. And I just wanted you to dig in and talk a little bit more about that and give your thoughts on that particular component of what this whole research has discovered.
Yeah, okay. First, if you don't mind, I want to jump back. Bill and I would be very remiss if we didn't credit the main author who has done most of the work on this project, Charlene Chang. Charlene was a PhD student here in our program several years ago and has gone on to do other things, but still, this is her project. And so definitely want to thank Charlene for all the work she puts into it. Bill and I help out where we can, but the bulk of the work comes from Charlene. So we'll just wanted to bring that out. And thank her for all the efforts she put in. Regarding on the topic you ask about, a lot of people don't realize that most of our farms are exempt from OSHA oversight, and that's by law. And if a farm has 10 or fewer employees, by law, they're not subject to routine OSHA oversight, reporting requirements, inspections, and so on. This is not something that, you know, I try to remain as neutral as possible on. It's a fact of life. Now, if you get into some of our bigger farms, we are getting, and we do have a number of farms out there now that definitely do fall under OSHA and have the same requirements as any other industry. But again, most of our family farms are under that threshold. Does that mean safety is not a priority? Of course not. We should be, safety should be a priority. Even if the compliance issue isn't there to deal with. And I think it's nice to be able to teach safety for the sake of doing the right thing and being safe rather than jumping through the hoops to make sure you are complying. It does make a challenge for us in a way, in that with the no reporting requirements, it does make our data collection rather challenging, or maybe I call it unscientific in a way, because most of our data for these reports each year comes from internet searches, just like anybody else would do. Dr. Google, I guess you would say. We do still get some reports occasionally from extension educators or the general public. And we also do compare with the Department of Labor statistics, or the Indiana Department of Labor statistics. They're looking for some different, they probably won't include the young kids or the retired folks. They're looking at the labor force, or what's typically the labor force. So it does create some challenges for us. But typically, if something makes the local newspaper, we're going to find, we will find it. And it's been that way for a long time. Years ago, we used to have a clipping service where we'd get envelopes full of newspaper clippings clipped out of local newspapers. But now we've lost so many of our local newspapers, that source is kind of tough to come by. But if it does
one part of the research, Ed, that I thought, another part that I thought was fascinating to touch upon what you just brought up, was that there are a disproportionate number of Amish who are killed on the farms. And a lot of times I would imagine that those particular incidents and fatalities may also go unreported. It just happens to, you know, when you have a farm fatality, there's typically an investigation by a local sheriff's office. And I'm sure that's how you get word of a number of these fatalities on Amish farms, but there could be far more fatalities among Amish farms than what we're aware of, Ed.
It's possible. I think we do a decent job on fatalities, because usually there's at least an article in the newspaper, the local fire department, or whoever the response team makes a report. What we don't claim at all to have good records on are non-fatal injuries, unless they just happen to be something that draws attention and the local news TV station or news reporter has the time to go out to the scene and report it. Fatal injuries, again, and yeah, the Amish community, we do think has inflated risk or disproportionate risk of injury. That I will say, that's actually gotten much better or improved over the years. The Amish communities have taken it upon themselves they recognize the issue. And have taken it upon themselves to really make safety a priority in their communities. Big thanks for that goes to some of our extension educators around the state and some of these Amish communities that have spent a lot of years working with these folks and building trust and able to bring in some programming, some safety related programming. So we definitely thank them. Why is that community at a higher risk? Number one, a lot of the equipment they use is that older equipment that everybody else was using 60, 70 years ago, the corn pickers and a lot of their equipment may be refurbished to fit their beliefs and their requirements. and most of that's older, and just lacks the safety equipment that we have on the newer stuff, newer equipment. Another impact, another factor is we talk about youth. Amish youth are in many cases very, very much involved on the farm. And they're no different than anybody else. I mean, they're kids and they have to learn. And so, but as far as a percentage of involvement, I would say Amish older families are much more likely to have kids involved out on the farm. So we're unfortunately naturally probably going to see an increase or an increased risk or an increased number of injuries in those communities.
Chatting with Ed Shelton here on Your Farm Podcast. As we wrap things up here, Ed, I want to talk about National Farm Safety and Health Week, which is September 22nd through 27th. Mm-hmm. And this, the release of this farm fatality summary kind of ties in with not just Farm Safety and Health Week, but also the start of the harvest season. In fact, we have folks in northeastern Indiana who may be starting harvest as soon as this coming week. What message do you have for farmers, not just across Indiana, but all across the U.S. as they prepare for another harvest season? And hopefully by this time next year, when you and I are chatting about the 2025 Indiana Farm Fatality Summary, we're talking hopefully about a significant fewer number of fatalities on the farm, Ed.
That would be great. That would be great. As we jump into move into harvest, I know last week I was at the Farm Progress Show, and of course they cheat a little bit. I think they plant some really short season stuff there so they can harvest in late August. But between here in central Illinois, there's a lot of fields that are ready to go or will be any time. I would imagine there's some combines running someplace in the state right now. Definitely silage harvest has been going great guns for a while. So yeah, we're into that season. And that's part of the reason Farm Safety Week, the National Farm Safety Week, which has been a program for several decades, like since post-World War II time. It's always been that third or fourth week of September, right? What used to be the beginning of harvest, now we're probably going to be full bore by the time in a couple of weeks. So by the time Farm Safety Week's hits, I think everybody's going to be hitting it pretty hard. But over the years, and maybe not so much now, but certainly historically, we used to see a significant increase in that October, November timeframe in fatalities and injuries on the farm, just because of the, you know, it gets busy, it gets crazy. Everybody works as hard as they can to get the crop out of the field, long hours, long days, and that unfortunately can lead to mistakes and injuries, breakdowns, whatever. So traditionally that we've observed Farm Safety and Health Week in September to give folks a reminder going into the harvest season to keep safety a priority, keep safety in mind. Yeah, there's a job to do, but the most important thing is for everybody to be here and healthy when harvest is over and done, which it will get done. I know sometimes we wonder whether it ever will, take some breaks, take some time to recharge. If the weather stays nice, and well, sometimes you might have to take a break even if the weather's nice. It's probably best for your health in the long term. So again, as we move into harvest, keep safety in mind. Be here to enjoy it when it's over.
Absolutely. Once again, Ed Shelton, he is the agricultural safety specialist with Purdue Extension, as well as Purdue's Agricultural and Biological Engineering Department. And we will provide a link to the 2024 Indiana Farm Fatality Summary at HoosierAgToday.com. And so you can check out that full report. And also, you can read reports dating back to when the summaries were first compiled nearly 60 years ago. So once again, Ed Shelton, thank you so much for sharing your information with us. And we certainly hope that farmers all across the U.S. have a safe and taken care of harvest here this year.
Absolutely. And thank you again for the opportunity to share.
All right. Thank you so much, Ed. And thank you for joining us here on Hoosier Ag Today and the Your Farm Podcast, as Hoosier Ag Today presents Your Purdue Extension, a podcast network. I'm CJ Miller for Hoosier Ag Today.